Last week's disclosure of a massive data breach at the Office of Personnel Management has officials in Washington reeling. We know the outlines of the episode. Up to 4 million employees, current and retired, could be affected. The theft occurred in December, but wasn't reported until last week. For the long-term perspective, I spoke to cybersecurity expert Rodney Joffe, a partner at Neustar. He says the nature of the data taken means some people will have to worry about it for the rest of their lives.
Probably the most important thing for people in the federal sector to realize is that OPM certainly keeps personnel records for government employees, but they're also the repository and they're also the organization that keeps records related to clearances. And if you've gone through a clearance process, you fill in a form called an SF-86, which is publicly available.
It's 127 pages long.
Well, it's not quite that, but it's a lot of pages. But what's important about it is the information that you actually provide. You provide, besides your own personal information, your passport information, not necessarily credit card accounts, that's not included, but you include the names and addresses and dates of birth of all of your relatives, of people that you've come into contact with over time. You provide information related to all of your travel dates, who you met on those on that travel.
So foreign nationals are part of your form also.
Absolutely. Not only that, but if depending on what information was compromised, and that's the thing that we don't know yet, whether it was purely the personnel records from OPM that have nothing to do with the database where clear data is kept. But if it is that data, and that's the thing that concerns most of us, is if it's that data, it's going to include information related to foreign contacts. So one of the things that you report on is what foreign contacts you've met with and what might have been said. That information is there. It goes back, obviously, a minimum of 7 years, so depending on your clearance level. It can go back a lot longer. And that information is very, very useful, not from a financial point of view, but from a leverage point of view. You then come into the second area, which is you may also actually have in those records the result of field investigations. So when you have a clearance, I mean, anyone who lives in Washington knows that on a regular basis, there's a knock on the door, someone comes in and asks you questions about your neighbor. Well, if there's negative information in there, that information is going to appear. The final thing is that when you go through your interviews, depending on what the field notes actually say, if you have the interview and you're asked about what bad things you may have done historically, those things will appear there, and you're told that those things won't be made public. It won't be made available to anyone in your family, any of your friends or your work associates. But if the data is there, it may provide very, very powerful leverage for compromise down the road where you're asked to provide information or perhaps do things that are against the interests of the United States.
So if that data was taken from, say, a million people, the SF-86 data, that could be 7, 8, 9, 10 million people whose information can be known via those forms.
Absolutely. Correct.
And here's my other question. What does it take and how long does it take to find out exactly what was taken? I likened it earlier to coming home and finding the broken glass from your back window all over the floor, but not knowing which pieces of silver were taken. When and how can they know what silver was taken?
They knew what was touched, what was looked at, or what files might have been accessed. That's probably available within the first part within hours and within days and within weeks. How it's going to be used is going to depend on who actually took it. Also, where it was actually stored as it was taken out. So part of the problem is that there may not just be one person in the network. You may actually have more than one adversary. What we generally find is when a system has been compromised, there are actually multiple compromises from different groups on the same system. So you have no idea how many people would have had access to that additional data. The interesting thing is that in the past, up until probably 2-3 years ago, data was always sold in the underground. We knew that criminals were involved in monetizing. Over the last year or so, there's been a much smaller quantity of data made available after some of the breaches, which just doesn't show up from a criminal point of view. You know that someone is building a database in order to be able to target specific people. What might have happened in the past, for example, is that someone would mine the database and say, what do I have there I can make use of? When you start to build a large informational database, you have the ability now to say, I want to target that organization or that particular person. Let's see what I have, or let's see how I can get to them.
And why was that data not encrypted? If it was, would they be worrying about whether someone gets their hands on it?
I don't know that these days, certainly stuff should be kept encrypted all the time. PII data is supposed to be encrypted continually. And I guess it depends on your definition of PII. I think that the name and address and date of birth of your relatives is probably PII data. Probably not thought about in the PII system, but it certainly is. So it should have been encrypted. But the problem is that the modern adversary really takes over the persona of an internal person that has access to the data. And so when it goes through that person's system with that person's credentials, the encryption is probably going to be overcome.
We're speaking with Rodney Jaffe. He's a cybersecurity expert and senior fellow at Neustar. So now the blame game is going to start. And who can be fingered, if not so much for blame, at least for assigning responsibility so we know where to begin to pick up the pieces?
In this particular case, I don't know that you can actually point at anyone specifically. The truth is that in the modern world, with the modern capabilities of our adversary, who are very, very intelligent, probably as certainly as good as us, if not better, it's not necessarily the fault of OPM or the government. They may have done everything right. You heard Alan Palo earlier talk about the fact that there are certain standards that you follow. The NIST framework has been out now for a year and a half. A number of organizations have been implementing it. People do all of the right things. And even if you do all of the right things, there's absolutely no doubt that you will be compromised. Doing all of the right things won't stop you from being compromised. It'll just make it less likely. But it's going to happen. 0 days are a fact of life, and it's quite possible that the initial compromise in the system occurred as a result of someone opening a phishing email. It may have used a 0 day. It may have used something that hadn't yet been patched within one of the networks. However, what you really also have to understand these days is that it's not about preventing the compromises. What you have to do is think about the risk, deal with it as a risk management issue, and start to say, when I get compromised, not if, but when this gets compromised, how am I best likely to be able to detect it very early on and limit or minimize the damage? If it had been 500 records or 1,000 records or 10,000 records, the conversation we're having, you know, last week and this week is probably going to be different.
Yeah, so that's right, because if it was up to 4 million, it seems like there's a lag time between the occurrence and the detection. In this case, it was months. And so is it possible with continuous monitoring or CDM to get the knowledge and response closer together, maybe hours or minutes?
That's certainly what you're looking for. You're looking for minutes, if you can, hours at worst, maybe even a couple of days. You think about the 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60 pages that you have within the SF86. That's a large amount of data. It's megabytes. You don't exfiltrate 4 million megabyte chunks of data out of a network quickly without being detected. But even slowly, this thing may have, you know, we're hearing about months. I don't know that it's months. This could have been, could easily have been more than a year. You could probably get that amount of data out of a modern network over that period of time without being easily detected. It can be done in small chunks. It can be done attached to other files, can be done as part of legitimate downloads or legitimate uploads to other websites. So it's going to be very difficult to tell.
All right, so what are the lessons learned here? What does the government need to do next?
The government really needs to, and they're starting to do with it, with, for example, accelerating Einstein 3 implementation on the networks. It's going to be moved up, I think, a couple of years, according to Secretary Johnson. There is going to be a need to now, first of all, to benchmark and understand what the normal state is, what normal behavior is, and then to start to improve the ability to detect when data is being exfiltrated. If data is being used internally, it's going to be very small bits and pieces. The data is going to be moved out of the network, and the thing is to find out how it's being moved out. Obviously, if it's true insider threat, if this was an insider, the method to move it out is probably not to do it across the network. It's just as simple as, unfortunately, a DVD or a SD drive or a thumb drive. And you can move a fair bit of information. These days they have, 6,428 gigabytes of data. It doesn't show up very easily. You don't notice that people are searched when they leave OPM. It just doesn't happen.
Sure. So in other words, it would be a mistake for the government to rule out someone from the inside doing this.
It's always a mistake. You really have to understand that there's both a human side to this as well as a signal side of it. So you really can't rule it out, but even if it wasn't an insider, the possibility is that it came out using another method than the network.
And based on your experience working with agencies on major breaches over the years, what do you think is really going on inside, possibly including DOD, in looking at this?
I think there's an enormous amount of consternation looking at the impact of this data and looking at what data was taken and then saying, how may that data be used against us in the future? And what do we need to do from a training point of view to make sure that employees understand when they're being approached as a result of this data, to be able to recognize it very early and to encourage them to come forward? Because remember that if this is actually being done from a blackmail point of view, the instinct for anyone being approached is going to be, I'm not going to tell anyone. I don't want to get myself into more trouble. We're going to have to find a way of dealing with that issue.
So it's possible that a series of incidents seemingly unrelated could occur in the next any number of years, and they could all be originating from knowledge gained in this data taking.
In this data taking and also some of the other things that are out there, there's been some talk over the last while, for example, that it's been possible to scrape, for example, the social media profiles where people talk about, you know, they mention just an odd word or two, a location and a date that they were at, maybe in a photograph or in a post on one of the other social websites. If that can be matched to the data that's actually in this database, you now start to be able to build a much larger picture and be able to now, because of the kind of data that may have been taken, and I have no inside knowledge what information was actually taken, but if it was the kind of information that's found in something like an SF-86, the approach is going to go through a family member. It may not even be that person. It may be a family member who's now pushed to actually provide the information. You're going to have to watch for that, certainly from, I think, you know, going forward from a life point of view. It's not going to be a year or two or three at any time. Depending on who the adversary is and who actually took the information, we already understand that some of these nation states think in terms of dynasties of years and years and years. So they're very patient.